Well, John chapter 4 tonight. John chapter 4 and one verse of scripture, verse 35. The Bible says, and this is the Lord talking, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." You know what the Lord is saying? Don't put things like this off. One of the key principles in the Christian life is for us to redeem the time. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and look at verse 15 and 16. This is basically saying the same thing. "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." And ladies and gentlemen, if this verse ever had a time for us tonight, it's today. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. It is well documented and well illustrated in Scripture that man by nature tends to procrastinate, to put off important issues, to put off important decisions. It is equally true, because of the depravity of man, not to view spiritual truths as a consuming passion, but to put them off. We live in a very visual world. And when something is out of sight, it is out of mind for many, many people. I want us this evening to look at three passages of Scripture where people were too late in three separate areas of life. They put it off, and then it became too late for them. So our challenge is not to be too late, not to put off spiritual things. First of all, it was too late for Lot to influence his family. Of course, Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19, and when you are reading through your Bible, every year when I get to Genesis chapter 19, it hurts my heart. And we'll look at two different parts to this story, and it is so sad. Genesis chapter 19, let's begin reading in verse 1. "And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And ladies and gentlemen, that simply means he was in the ruling council of Sodom. "And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground." These are the two angels. "And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early, and go on your way. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." They say, "You know what, Lot? We would rather sleep in the street than sleep in your house." That's how far gone Lot was at this time with those two angels. "And he pressed upon them greatly. And they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread. And they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. Know them has to do with the sexual act. Do you see where this is going? And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold now, and this is beyond my comprehension, honest to goodness. I read this and I say, how in the world? Lot's outside talking to the men of Sodom. He shuts the door behind him and he's out there talking. And here's what he says to the men of Sodom. Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and ye do to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. That does not fit in my mind. I've got a daughter, and for me to be so depraved as to say anything like this completely goes over my head. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break down the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot, this is the angels, and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness. That is, the angels did that, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. What am I saying? Don't let it be too late for you to influence your family. Lot was too late. He tried to influence. You need to get up and get out of this place. And he seemed as one that mocked unto them. Lot has had some tremendous privileges in his life. He had a godly uncle. Uncle Abraham, he had seen God work. And folks, the Bible is very plain that old Lot is saved. I want you to go with me, hold your place in Genesis, and go with me to 2 Peter for just a moment. 2 Peter chapter 2. And we'll read verses 6 through 8. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. And delivered just Lot. The word just there doesn't mean only. It means saved, justified. And delivered justified Lot. He was saved, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, it vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Let me use a metaphor. Oh, Lot's not attending church. There's no fellowship of other Christians. He's not reading his Bible. He's not praying. Things are not going well with him. And then the time comes, and it always does, when godly influence is needed, when spiritual advice could spare the lives of his family. But it's too late. He seemed as one that mocked unto them. So how does Genesis 19 end? Let's go back to Genesis 19 and let's pick up the story in verse 30. And again, when I read through my Bible every year, I come to Genesis 19 and I know what is coming at the end of the chapter. And it hurts my heart. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain. Did I tell you what verse? Verse 30. Yeah. And his two daughters with him. For he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, our father's old, and there's not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink hooch, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night. The firstborn went in and lay with her father. And she lay down. Nor when she... Let me go through that again. I missed something here. Went in and lay with her father. And he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made the father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. Thus, oh boy, thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. In the future a little bit, Lot looks at his daughters and they're both beginning to show. And he says, how did this happen? And they said, oh, Dad, we got you drunk and you lay with us. You're the father of these two children. And old Lot goes out and sits on a rock. And the sun bathes his head in warmth, but there is no warmth in his soul. And Lot says something like this, Satan, you lied to me. You told me that I could raise my family in Sodom just as well as raising them in the country with my uncle Abraham. Satan, you lied to me. And I tell you what, Satan will lie to us about drink. And from this pulpit, you will be warned over and over, don't you use any alcohol. Second of all, it will become too late to initiate a spiritual interest. Let me explain what I'm talking about. Luke chapter 16, and you are already way ahead of me. Luke chapter 16. One of the things that Satan will tell you is you don't need to be all that concerned about how close you are to the grave. Okay? Luke chapter 16, let's begin reading in verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, O Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivedest thy good things and likewise Lazarus' evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify unto them, that they may come, lest they come into this place of torment. And Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, they have the word of God. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, if they don't listen to the word of God, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. It was too late to initiate a concern about the torments of hell. Verse 23 and verse 24. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and he sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. But it's too late. He's already in hell, and there's no second chances in hell. And he is there. Had a lady come to our church when I was pastoring in Oregon. Her two kids had been saved in our church. They were friends of our kids, and they came and they were both saved, and they wanted their mother to come. And she came one Sunday morning, and I don't preach on hell a lot, but I do preach on hell because it's part of the Word of God. And I happened to preach on hell that morning. And after the service, she said, we will not come back to your church because you are trying to scare my kids. She didn't even know. Her kids had already been saved, and they wanted her to come and be saved, and she never came back to the church. Second of all, it was too late for a prayer life. Look at verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. But it's too late for a prayer life. And then it was too late to have concern for others. Verse 28, I have five brothers that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Here's the deal. Riches mean nothing to this man now. Fine linens, big dinners aren't his interest. Now his interest is mercy and prayer and soul winning and concern for others. But it's too late. There's no mercy. There's no answered prayers. There's no support for others. No one to tell his family Don't be too late to initiate a spiritual interest in your family. And then last of all, don't be too late to invest in eternal things. Go with me to the book of John, chapter 12. Book of John, chapter 12. And let's read the first 8 verses. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Can you imagine the conversation between these two friends? Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This, he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. These people, they had themselves, they had substance, they had an interest in service towards the Lord. What they didn't have, because it was too late, the opportunity's gone. There's no more time. It's tragic. And it is unnecessary. The Lord simply said, you always have the poor, but you don't have me. And it was just a few days before he would be crucified. And he's going to be gone. God help us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time together this evening. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for taking the Word of God and speaking to our heart and making us more like the Son of God. We are to be conformed to His image. Father, just be with us. Speak to our hearts. Help us to listen to you and do that which you want us to do. Thank you for every opportunity that we have to serve you, to be more like you, to make a difference in people's lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen. Rick's going to lead us in an invitation song. If God's spoken to your heart, just obey what the Lord